Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this beautiful June 16th, 2018 day for a very interesting radio program, I hope, for you. I really do. Every so often, I get these wonderful emails from people who are scoffing me, and, I don't get them every so often. I actually get them a lot. So I like to choose which ones I'm going to answer, and I think it's important to address these things, as it were. So I'm going to address the scoffers today who listen to the radio program and maybe don't like what they hear. But I think it's important to understand this. This radio program, as you know, is supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts. I want you to remember that. I know you want to forget it, but it is important. This is the only way we can support our radio program, our TV programs that you see on our website at aspire.org. The radio TV programs we're showing are all of the ones that I've done. And, well, not all of them. We still have some ones that we're going to be putting up here late this year. So I hope that you're enjoying them. I hope that you enjoy these radio programs. I hope you will consider being a sponsor. If you are a sponsor, I want to thank you for being a sponsor. It is only through your gifts that I'm allowed to continue, and I want to thank you for your loving support. And I hope that those of you who are listening and have listened to the radio program, maybe gotten something out of it. I hope so. We'll become a sponsor. The world has changed. And in the old days when I would do radio, back in the 70s and the 80s, you got questions from people that were, well, shall we say, more tailored to helping them understand. And usually it was about intellectual understanding. Rarely did I ever get anything that was substantial, like, you know, what it means to step away from emotionality and all of that. So things have changed. And as we have progressed in our digressions, we have these ideas of what will help us and what will not. And the questions I'm about to give to you are from people who like to listen or watch what I offer and criticize it. And everybody has the right to do that. But the thing about it is I think we have entered into a sphere in this world where we are incarnating certain kinds of people that really are quite contrary to the message. So I'm going to share some of them with you, and I like to do this from time to time just to mix things up, and hopefully it will help you appreciate maybe where you are, understand where I am, and maybe clarify some things. Who knows? But it can't do anything but good. I'm going to withhold the names of these people, not because they told me I could use them or not use them. I just intuitively feel like it would probably be best if I didn't use their names, just for the sake of being courteous. The first one, what good does it do to know anything you teach? You can't really use much of it, and what does it really matter anyway? And this was sent to me by a male out of state. We'll just say that. Anything I teach is worthless to the ears of a person who themselves is not seeking. If you are not in at least the first stages of curiosity, then go into seeking, and then go into the full boogie tilt of really working on yourself, nothing I teach is of any meaning or any value. The same thing would be said of any great teacher, not that I'm a great teacher, but any great teacher like the Buddha or Jesus or Lhasa, any great teacher that we've had here on earth that showed us the way, as it were. It doesn't do any good at all. People will say this phrase, what good does it do? Does it do any good at all? What is good? What are we talking about? Because I don't have you in front of me to, and by the way, I did alert all of these people that I was going to use their questions, so they know I'm talking to them. Because you're not here to help me define your attitude or your belief or your definition of good, I'm kind of at a little bit of a standstill, but I'm going to assume and make an ass of myself here, that your idea of good is anything that seems to come from the world to you that benefits you in maybe finances or benefits your health or benefits some situation that you're trying to achieve or keep from achieving or whatever, something in the world. So there is the crux of the matter, what you call good. If what you call good has to do with the idea of things that come to you in and of the world, things that benefit you socially, that benefit you monetarily, that benefit you in your health or in your circumstances, these things pass away very quickly and they change very quickly. The things that you and I thought were really good, that we could really depend upon 5 years ago, 10 years ago, well, they don't exist now. And you can't depend upon them, and they aren't there anymore. So things do change. And as they change in the world, so does the apparent good of it all. What I'm trying to teach you here is that there is a goodness in you that isn't dependent upon the world, that isn't dependent upon other people, what they think or they say or they do, isn't dependent upon politics or anything like that. It has to do with the state of being within. And in that inward state of being, I find the respite from all of the things that make my life difficult. In other words, I'm not carrying down the genealogy of Greg, of the Penn family. And I know genealogy is a very big deal to a lot of people in this world, but it only shows you your tendencies. People need to belong because they don't belong to themselves. They want to belong to a family, a group of people, a tribe. They want to be told what to do, because they don't know what to do. I always joke, how many Kevin Costner movies have I seen where he has said to the woman, just tell me what to say, just tell me what to do. People want to be told what to do because they have no inner guidance. So the things that I am teaching don't seem relevant to your world, but your perception of the world is merely a perception. It isn't the way it truly is. It just looks like that to you. It is your opinion of your world, your opinion of what is good, your opinion about what would benefit you. So when you listen to me here on the radio or you would watch me on TV, you think I'm here to help you. I'm not here to help you. I am here, as you would think help would come, the help being defined by the idea of helping you get what you want or the good that you want. I am not here to do that. I am just fingers pointing to the moon. And we have a saying in Zen that is very true. Look where I'm pointing. Don't bite my finger. Look where I'm pointing. Now, if you look where I'm pointing and don't bite my finger, then you can possibly assess what I am giving to you here as a reasonable way to maybe look at life from a perspective that's outside the box of getting things you want, having things you want. If you get things that you want and have things that you want and you gain those things, that doesn't mean anything has really changed in your life. Your outer life may become a little easier, a little better, but I find that when people get what they want and things start to roll the way they want them to, they take advantage of the situation. And they don't do anything that is really meaningful to their life. They don't do anything that is serving humanity in any way, shape, or form. Rather, they become more and more narcissistic and self-serving. They go the opposite way. You would think they would go the way of the heart. They would start to do things that would help people. But no, not at all. They do things that make it even more difficult for them to live. But they don't understand that because they're entrenched in their good, or what they call good, which is strictly a point of view, a perception, a concept. What I am teaching you here is how to live without a concept. And if you can live without the idea of a concept, the idea of a belief, the idea of anything, then you have done very, very well with yourself. So that is the meaning of this whole situation, to see the blessing of what it is to do something without the necessity for some kind of good, like you would call it, to come out of it. It's just something you do because you're, first of all, curious. Then out of that curiosity might come, rather than complacency in the world and complacency with the good that you think is good, you might find something deeper. You might find that diamond, and it lives inside you. If you keep searching for it, you have a true purpose for living. If you don't, you're at the whim of the world and how it will treat you over here, over there, pushing you here in the breeze, pushing you there like a kite. And you just don't have any sense of what this whole thing is all about. I hope that helps you, dear listener, wherever you are within yourself. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one. Who cares about meditation? I relax with my friends, and now we have pot. We don't need meditation. Meditation is not a spa treatment. Meditation is not for relaxation. It is for focus. It is for a different kind of concentration. I don't want to say it's concentration. I want to say it's about something other than concentration. It's about a certain focus where you are delving past the mind, the ego, the pride, the vanity, delving past ideas and thoughts. What would it be like to experience that which is not a thought? Do you realize everything has to go through the mechanism of your thoughts? Everything. Listening to this radio program, watching my TV programs. People have strong opinions about good and bad, right and wrong, moralistic beliefs. So they never get to really see or hear what I'm teaching. They can only pass it through their brain, their thoughts. And what am I passing it through when I pass it through my brain and my thoughts? Well, I'm passing it through generation after generation of legions of genetic dispositions that live within me. I'm passing it through my DNA. I'm passing it through my befuddled little mind of Gregory. How can I understand it? How can I awaken to it? How can I be aware of it? It's just simply not possible to do. So when you're listening to me, even now, you may be relaxed. You may be on pot and relaxing or having a drink with your friends or whatever. But are you really hearing it? Do you really hear what your friends are saying? Do you hear what is really going on within you? Do you hear what I'm saying, or do you hear the mishigosh of what's going on within your brain, within your thoughts? Everything gets muddled in there. And before you know it, you're listening to what is being presented to you as an interpretation from your own thinking. That is not the true message. The true thought ruins the true message. True thought ruins true message. What would it be like if you didn't have to interpret anything? You didn't have to protect yourself against the message that is being offered to you. What would it be like to experience your life yourself without the need for there to be any kind of what you would call a true thought? What if thinking is obsolete, optional, and you don't really have to do it? What if you could just have the direct experience without the need for the thought to interrupt, to interpret? That is meditation. It does not require thoughts. It requires no thought. Something we call in Zen, no mind. To understand this can't be done. True meditation cannot be understood. You cannot understand it. You have to get out of the way. I have to get out of the way. I have to be willing to drop the Gregory for the sake of the practice itself, whatever that might be. And rather than getting all hooked up in the idea of morality or what's right or wrong, what's real, what's not real, instead of allowing my thoughts to distract me, they can just be placed over there. My attentions go to emptiness, to the true form of what it means to become authentically empty. Not desiring, not wanting, not believing. Rather, just watching, without the need for there to be any kind of assessment with the brain. Now, once that is understood, and once you have achieved something like that, which you can, then you will think, oh, why was I doing all this thinking? Once you've had one direct experience where your mind is no longer hassling or pushing or shoving or doing anything that says, I should do this, I shouldn't do that, then you won't be shoved around by thinking any longer. And that will be something that is so beautiful. Let me tell you one of the things that really helped me. When I began my meditations, I struggled like anyone else. But as I went on in my practice and kept persevering, the thing that made the most difference was I realized, and this is what broke the water, as it were, I didn't have to come to conclusions about anything. What a relief it was for me to not have to come to conclusions about anything. I didn't have to say to my mind, this person is a that, or this situation is final, or this thing is bad, or this thing is good. I didn't have to come to any conclusions. And that made the difference. That makes the difference in everything. So that's what's important. Nothing else. Meditation, it is very important. The meaning of it, the benefits of it go far beyond our physiology and way beyond our psychology. It transcends both of those things. It brings you into the meaning of what it is to live your life in accordance with love. And that, my friend, that is beyond friends, marijuana, and fun. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. I believe you're born, you get through life, and you die. That's it. What else is there, Greg? I have answered this question so many times, and I really understand it is a difficult question for most people. I will tell you what else there is. There is the gap and the pause between all of those things, between your conception and your birth, between your birth and your livingness and your eventual death. In all of that, there are billions, billions of spaces, pauses, and they exist within you. These pauses and gaps and spaces are the way. They show the way. They are the way. They allow us to bloom into things that are very, very important. Those things cannot be talked about. They can't be taught. There are certain things in this lifetime that can't be taught. They just exist within themselves as existence themselves. And to understand the nature of this, to understand the existence and what it is a truly important thing to do. In that existence, there is more than our physical birth, our biological birth, our biological life, and our biological death. There is something other than that. You and I live in a non-participation sport of life. We don't really participate in the life itself. We participate in the circumstances of our life. And those circumstances are based and predicated on what we do within ourselves, how we think, how we live, how we emotionalize, the state of what we have set forth in our lifetime in the physical form. But to get involved in it, to get deeply, deeply involved in the physicality of life, the mental aspect of it, is a true mistake that we make. Now, to reverse that is something called the practice. To reverse that is something called meditation. And it is to come to terms with the idea that when I come to any conclusion of anything in my life, and you say it's about birth, living, and dying, once you've come to that conclusion, you've killed yourself. It's a form of suicide. And you're not really understanding the nature of any of this. You're just going through the motions of all of this. Now, that may be good for some people. That may be something you need to do. That may be the good. You get it? But there is more. And if you go a little deeper, if you persevere, if you are willing to explore beyond the confines of our pedestrian mentality, which we all possess and seem to cherish so much, you begin to realize, oh, this is so beautiful. The highest state of truth is beauty. And beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. It's in the heart of everything. You don't see it within your eyes. You see it from your heart. It's something that is beyond the looky-loo mentality. It's in the depth of real perception. It's a gracefulness that lives in all of us. There's more to living than our life. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. I hope this was helpful to you. I really do, all of you. I'm sure all of you have had these kind of thoughts about it. Not only me, but other teachers, yada, da, yada, da. But I hope this opens you up a little bit. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.